Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more? No more, no more?
I hate that song so much. I hate that song so much. Anyway.
What, did you play it too many times? Did you play it as a cover too many times?
Oh.
Ooh, let's just start the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast, your local source for the international and, well, your source for local and international news in the alternative and metal scene. I'm one of your co-hosts here. My name is Abdullah. And with me as well, as always, Mr. the one and only, Mr. Mansoor.
What's up?
Mansoor, how are you feeling this week?
Much better, thank you. I'm somewhat 95% recovered, alhamdulillah.
95%? That's pretty high.
Yeah.
That's more than a passing grade. So that's good. So today's episode is going to be pretty short and sweet, huh? We don't really have much to talk about, but we have a couple of songs and things that we've been listening to. And we're going to talk a little bit about some news as well, but otherwise we're gonna keep it short and simple this week. Inshallah, next week we'll have a guest, and it'll be a richer and more in-depth episode. But yeah, let's just see how it goes. You know, let's see how this short and sweet format goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll keep it interesting for you guys. No worries.
Yeah, we'll try to do that. So without any further ado. All right, dude. I think you shared this piece of news, and I feel like I've seen an interview where Matt Hafey talked about this, where he was like incessantly bullied by people in the scene. But yeah, this is interesting. We paid $30,000 to get bullied like we were in high school. Matt Hafey says Trivium was bullied by Ozfest crew after refusing to egg Iron Maiden. The story that I heard, the interview that I saw, was him talking about how, you know what, I'm gonna misremember this, but it was something along the lines of how, like, the other bands on the bill, because he was new and he was young at that point, everybody was hating on him and everybody was bullying him, so it seems like this is something that he had to put up with for a very long time, huh?
Yeah, so the backstory is this. Back in 2000, in the 2005 version of Ozfest, when Iron Maiden was headlining, there was some tension between Iron Maiden and the Aussie camp, because the Iron Maiden's front man Bruce Dickinson was kind of dissed the Osbournes for their, you know, the TV show.
The live, the reality show.
The reality show. I don't know what he said exactly. I don't recall. But, Sharon Osbourne and that camp weren't too happy about that. And during one of the shows, I think it was at the tail end of that tour, she basically hired people to egg Bruce Dickinson during the Iron Maiden's performance. And basically, they were trying to gather as many people as they can to egg Iron Maiden. So one of them was the Trivium guys, who were back then. They were like 19, 20. They were pretty young.
Yeah.
Back in 2000.
Matt Hefey, I think, was like, dude. Matt Hefey, I think, was 16 when he would join that band, or something like that. 16 or 17. I think I think he was that young when he joined them.
Yeah, so I mean, they were still teenagers. They didn't know any better. So, but they refused because, like, Maiden were their heroes, apparently. And so much, like, to the point where they actually covered Iron Maiden's The Trooper as some kind of act of defiance.
Rebellion. Towards defiance.
Yeah. So they were, as a result, bullied by that other camp, the Aussie camp, for refusing to do that. And Matt Hefey talks a lot about it, saying that they were mistreated for refusing to do that. But hey, in my opinion, I think he did the right thing. You know, he didn't want to take part in the drama, and, you know, he stayed out of it. And, you know, that's the professional thing to do. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's actually shows a lot of maturity.
It's very mature,
especially at their age. They were like young as well, so like it's very like mature of them to be like, no. I mean, but I see the point. Like, they were their heroes as well. Like, I'm sure, you know, I don't want to speak like in you know, like assumptions here, but I'm sure if it was another man, maybe they would have participated. You know, if it was another band they didn't like, but because it's Iron Maiden and it was their heroes, maybe they like the maturity kicked in and they were like, no, we're not gonna do it. You know,
maybe they're too afraid to mess with.
With their heroes. Guys, huh? Yeah, they were afraid to mess with their heroes, you know. But it's very, but like all in all, like both Bruce and like Sharon are both like completely immature in this scenario. And like these people were not young at that point. And I get, and while it's on brand for Sharon to do something like that, I don't know, I feel like it's very on brand. I'm not surprised by this. But it's just stupid. It's just all around stupid. And yeah, I mean, kudos for them for showing that level of maturity at that age.
But here's the thing, like, here's the takeaway from this. These bands had to pay to be on Ozfest. So
yeah, what's up with that?
Like, yeah, so I think because like Ozfest, it was the biggest thing, the biggest metal, tour at the time. And, you know, it was a big opportunity for any band to be on it.
Absolutely.
So imagine paying $30,000 just to be on that tour and to have all of this drama surrounding you. Of course, I think, you know, the more the tour was successful, they managed to cover the costs. But yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, so basically bands, up and coming bands, would pay to appear on the bill in big shows like Ozfest in order. And the idea is that they're paying because they're going to be playing along, you know, bigger bands, and they're going to get that exposure. So it's like an investment for them to. And I think maybe it paid off for a band like Trivium, because like, dude, they were like one of the early pioneers and like one of the biggest early like metalcore bands during that Killswitch Engage era, during that As I Lay Dying era. I don't know what else. Machine Head era, like during that, you know, that mid-2000s. Early 2000s kind of era of metalcore.
Yeah, and they became. I remember they were like, I don't want to say overnight success, but they got pretty successful, really early in their careers.
Oh yeah, like
They've been. Everybody was talking about them back then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were. I don't know why I just remembered Shadows Fall. Do you remember Shadows Fall?
Oh yeah, man. I love Shadows Fall.
That was such a great band. I wonder what they're up to now.
They reunited, from what I know, and I think they're working on a new album, but I have to double check.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting. I hope, like... Yeah, the guitarist, man, I remember, like, back then, like, seeing that stuff on guitar was crazy for me, you know? Like, but anyways, yeah, those records were incredible. Like, the Shadows Fall records were pretty amazing. But anyways, moving right along, another piece of weird copyrights related news. Thousands of music videos, including Nirvana and Smells Like Teen Spirits, removed from YouTube amid copyright dispute. Didn't this happen earlier, like with TikTok or something, like Universal or one of these like record, labels, like took down a bunch of songs off of TikTok or something like that?
This
happened a while back, and then it like got retro whatever fitted, like whatever, it got fixed. But anyways, so apparently a bunch of Nirvana songs got removed, and Kendrick Lamar and Adele. Green Day,
all those big names. And this is due to like some there's a deal with the company CSAC that expired. And that's the company that holds the publishing rights of those songs, those artists' songs. And they had a deal with YouTube, and it expired. They failed to renew their agreement, which led to many music videos being taken down. But I think this was only in the US. But still, that's like the biggest market maybe for those kind of those artists. So it's a big deal. And one of them is Smells Like Teen Spirit. But you also, from like the rock, let's say, genre, you have Nirvana, Green Day, Bob Dylan. But yeah, I mean, those artists were affected. Even like Smells Like Teen Spirit, that song that music video has like a billion streams from what I remember. So you can imagine just the way it was impacted because of this.
I wonder what impact something like this has on, well, I mean, first of all, like a band like Nirvana, for example, who's like making, is it like Dave Grohl and his camp are still making like royalties off of this thing? And is it like, are they getting affected by it? Or, you know, it's, you know, I wonder how much of an effect something like this has on the band or on the record label or something like that, you know?
I mean, it's a drop in the ocean for them because they still have Spotify, other channels that they could rely on. But yeah, I mean, Dave Grohl, you're talking about Kurt Cobain's estate, probably Chris Novoselic and the labels that signed them. So, but still, I mean, Smells Like Teen Spirit is probably one of those highly played videos, and it's gonna have some effect. You know what I mean?
Do you think this is like an employee, like, someone like they had one job, like, and they had like a task in their like calendar or something, and they forgot like to check it. They're like, okay, yeah, all right, so. Censorship, all right, checking YouTube, all right, yeah, we need to do these stupid ads, or I forgot the CSAC subscription, we need to renew that, and then like a bunch of videos go offline.
Well, maybe that guy is no longer an employee now, so
probably got fired. Oh well, RIP employee that needed to renew the CSAC subscription. Oh man, oh my god, these guys again. All right, so what's happening now what's happening with Oasis? This is what, like the third time we talk about them? Ticketmaster said to ditch dynamic pricing as Oasis, and as my favorite my favorite band to make to do an impression of. Ticketmaster said to ditch dynamic pricing as Oasis announces 5 new concert dates. I remember seeing something about how, like, because they intervened because they saw how much people were complaining about the pricing being too high, and somehow they were, you know, in talks with like these ticket distributors to see how they can manage the pricing. I don't know if anything happened with that. So is this a result of that? Yeah, I think so. Right. Like, so they're kind of like the price is going to be normal now.
Yeah. So it's, I think the prices are going to be fixed. It's not going to be, it's not going to be under the dynamic pricing model, because Oasis also just announced recently the US tour for this reunion tour, the US leg of this tour. So yeah, it seems like the band are intervened, and they're like, no, we don't want this to affect, you know, our image or whatever, because yeah, everybody was super excited about this tour until this, they had to face this dynamic pricing thing during the, you know, buying tickets and stuff. So, I'd really love to interview somebody who's in the ticketing industry to get to know more about this dynamic pricing thing, and see what their perspective is on it. So if anybody out there is working in the ticketing industry, please reach out to us. Don't, you know, let us know. We'd like to. Okay, dude. Oh.
Sorry, technical issues. One second.
No problem.
Hold on a sec. I'm keeping all this in, by the way. I'm not cutting this out.
Oh, you're not?
No, definitely not. I'm just going to keep that in. But yeah, so yeah, anybody that's in the ticketing industry. So I'm actually, I would be interested in someone who's involved in the, that's working for, is Ticketmaster selling the Coldplay tickets for Dubai Abu Dhabi?
I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure they are. I'll be interested to see that because I saw a bunch of stories of people on my Instagram that were trying to buy the tickets and it was waiting lines and I don't know what. And I'm wondering if they have dynamic pricing set there as well. Where, you know, people are ending up paying more than they should be paying, you know?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the whole thing, I remember when Bruce Springsteen, you know, announced his tour last year. That was his first tour since, I don't know when. And it happened with Bruce Springsteen and the tickets were going for literally more than $1,000. And fans were really annoyed. But the whole the logic behind it apparently is that this is a way to cut the middleman, in other words, scalpers. So this is a way to disallow scalpers from getting those tickets and gouging the prices and selling them, and you know what I mean, like for ridiculous amounts.
But that's BS. That's what's happening. People are like buying these high value, like these, you know, really sought after popular concerts, buying the tickets and then setting their own prices, which is like, in this example, people were paying apparently £200 more than the original price of the ticket. So I know it happened to me. I bought tickets for a Dillinger Escapeland show and I ended up paying, you know, $100 extra or $150 extra for that because a bunch of people just bought the tickets. And then, like, ended up selling them at a higher price, and it allows you to do that. Live Nation allows you to, you know, buy tickets, and then if you want to sell them, you get to set your own prices and stuff. So, and they get like a cut out of it, so they don't care. But like, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, apparently, the algorithm set those prices depending on the demand. You know, like the demand, the popularity, and other factors. So there's an AI aspect to this that's controlling the prices, apparently.
Yeah, that's so completely dumb. And so anti-music lovers and anti-music fans and anti, like, people who enjoy music, like, it's just complete capitalist BS that people just want to make money off the back of people that want to go and have fun and enjoy music. It's incredibly annoying.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the consumer who's affected. But yeah. You know, even with the high prices, it's all the stakeholders that benefit from it. They're the ones who actually benefit from this. But yeah. At the end of the day, it's the consumer who's paying that money. And you have to, you know, in countries like the U.S., I think in some venues you actually have to pay for parking and all of that as well. And so you end up paying other fees.
Yeah, there's like hidden fees, like when you buy stuff from Ticketmaster or something ridiculous, like ticket processing fee or something like that, or something like there's a fee in there that's like ridiculous, completely ridiculous and doesn't make sense, but we all end up paying it for no reason.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think going to Gink is slowly becoming like a luxury. But this is the same model, like the dynamic pricing thing is the same model that hotels and the airline industry use.
Yeah.
For prices, which is why summer tickets and stuff like that tend to be very high. So they're using that. The concert industry is using that as well. So.
No. All right. Well, Ticketmaster sucks, and Oasis, no more dynamic pricing model. All right, great. All right, buddy. What you've been listening to this week?
So this week I'm going a bit local.
Noticed.
Yeah, my choices were Sound of Ruby, Betamax. Veteran, legendary, Saudi-based band, released their newest album, Betamax, mm-hmm. a few days ago. And yeah, they're one of the OGs of the genre here since the 90s, I believe. And their new release alludes back to the video format that we used to watch back in our days. Betamax. Us older.
I used to have a VHS and a Betamax player.
Yeah, good times.
Good times.
So, I mean, Sound of Ruby, you know, never fails to make good music, and this is a fun record to listen to. They bring out their grunginess, their hard rock, you know, flair on this. I really like this. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of there's a touch of humor to the songs that I appreciate, you know.
Yeah.
These guys are just in it to have fun, obviously. You can tell zero pretensions. Yeah, overall, it's just a good record. It could be very loud and at times and in a very grungy way, you know what I mean? That kind of style.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was a fun album to listen to, man.
Yeah. It's I also enjoyed this record. First of all, it was a surprise drop. I did not expect that. I didn't know that they were working on a release and they were recording songs, but so I wasn't aware that they were gonna drop one like it all of a sudden. But yeah, like you said, that like I appreciate the sense of humor. You know, songs like what was it, "That's in Man" or something like that, the pickup truck. And then there's this one song where he's fighting with someone. I don't know what. Like it's really funny.
Yeah.
And definitely the record is grunge, 90s grunge era worship, right? So it's like a lot of sounds in there that harken to, you know, Nirvana. And to me, I'm really hearing like the Nirvana influence. And then like my favorite track on this album is the last song, which is just called Sound of Ruby. And that's like, it's a thick sounding track. And like, it really does remind me of something like a, you know, like a Smashing Pumpkins early, like, you know, early Smashing Pumpkins material and like 90s era, like Smashing Pumpkins. So yeah, dope record. Yeah, for sure. Really enjoyed it.
Cool. And my next choice was Outlive, their new song, Come Alive. Another local band. You know, I would say another band that's seemingly heavily influenced by 90s grunge and alternative rock. Yeah, this is a decent track if you're into that kind of stuff. You know, they're not really breaking new ground. It's just, it's kind of, they're showing their love for the genre, I felt.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool listen. I don't know if it's part of a new album or not, but it's a lot of grungy music coming from our neck of the woods,
from the local scene. Yeah, I think this is like, they've been very active recently, Outlive, and I don't know if they're releasing an album or if they're ramping up for an album. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I like the sound of it. I like the way it sounds. I remember I was really impressed with the, you know, with the production value of their music. So yeah, you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing other stuff from them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it from my end. What have you been listening to?
I've been listening to a couple of things. So there's this like modern metal band that I really like called Unprocessed. They have like this really crazy guitarist. And this band, you know, historically speaking, like I felt like their music was leaning too much on the wiggly wiggly technical stuff, you know, like a guitarist is trying to show off and, you know, show off his skills in music and fitting songs in there. And then last year they released a record that was really good. I forget what it's called now. It had like a long name, but like it had a really, it was a step in the right direction. And I felt like the technicality was serving music composition more than just showing off. Yeah. This, I don't know if this is an EP or if they're releasing like a bunch of songs and it's like the Apple Music or, you know, is like putting them together into this thing where making where you, it makes you think it's an EP, but it's like this. Anyways, the song is called Dark, Silent, and Complete. And it's, I love how aggressive that song is. I love how, you know, crazy it goes. And it's like, it's pretty dynamic and it has, it goes places. So, you know, it changes like from, you know, if you skip through the song, you'll be like, what is this? This is the same song. But it's really cool, well-written, some really interesting guitar chops in there, like stuff that you don't expect and how fast and aggressive it goes. Really like it. It's a really cool example of what a new modern metal band sounds like, or if they want to do something interesting, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting record. To be honest, I when I first listened to it, the heavy part in the beginning, I felt like it was a bit strange, even though there's a pretty insane bass tone there that, you know, but yeah. I liked more of the melodic parts, the more clean parts, you know what I mean? Those,
yeah.
I felt like that was the better parts of the song.
It's their strong suit for sure. They know how to write like nice melodies and like with poppy sensibilities, because that's where they like, that's the kind of where the guitarist comes from, right? The, you know, they write pretty accessible, like poppy sounding stuff and nice melodies. Yeah. Other than that, Black Dahlia Murder released their new record, Servitude. Mellow death. I don't know. Some people are messaging me telling me they're not melodic death. They're metalcore. Whatever you want to call them. Melodic death pioneers. One of the most hardworking and most like consistent bands in the melodic death metal camp. Just came out with this new record. I don't know how this is, what their like 10th record, right? This stage, a 12th record. I don't know. Like it's their newest record now without their singer that passed away a couple of years ago. So the guitarist of that band took place of the singer, and like they got another guitarist. Anyways, great record. Really enjoyed it. Black Dahlia Murder is one of my favorite bands. They, and one of my favorite records of all time was released by the Black Dahlia Murder on Hollowed. This record is great. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It has some pretty good catchy parts in there. They really lean into writing groovy death metal, modern kind of sounding stuff. Interesting melodies as well, and amazing guitar chops. Like the solos, the riffs, the kind of the verses and stuff like that they write are incredibly technical and intricate and complex, and yeah, it's pretty cool. But I don't know, I'm feeling quite average about it. I don't know, I'm not like blown away by it or anything like that, which is, I don't know, I guess because they were one of my favorite bands, so I was expecting more, but yeah, you know, it's good. It's not bad at all. It's really good.
Yeah. I listened to some songs, man. I have to listen to it more, to be honest, but I listened to some songs and I enjoyed the guitar work more than anything. Like that was, I felt the highlight.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's, for me, that was the highlight for the record. It's the like guitar chops in there that were really good. I'll tell you something, though. There's another band that I've been listening to this week that released a new record, okay, called Undeath, okay? They released a record called More Insane. And what's funny is that they released a better Black Dahlia Murder record than Black Dahlia Murder, in my opinion. I don't know. Like, I was listening to that record. So Undeath is a New York-based death metal band, and, like, the past couple of records they released are basically a love letter to the old school death metal sound, right? So you listen to those records, production wise, writing wise, composition wise, everything. Like, it's just, you feel like you're listening to a death metal record from the, I don't know, from the 90s or something, you know? This record ups the production value a little bit, ups the technicality a little bit as well. It becomes a bit more technical, and there's a bit of like, there's a bit of some melodies in there, you know? There are some melodies in there as well that kind of reminds you of a bit of like a Black Dahlia Murder sounding record, which is like, you know, really, if you think about it, it's more like At the Gates kind of sounding a record. But in any case, it doesn't go to that extent where it is completely melodic or as technical, maybe, as the Black Dahlia, but they're going there. They're getting there. And I kind of really appreciate this record for, you know, adding like a new diverse sound to the band's repertoire. And the record is pretty incredible, actually. It has some really groovy songs, some pretty catchy songs, pretty aggressive and heavy as well. But it doesn't do the blast beat thing as much as you'd think it would for a death metal record, where it goes like really fast and like stuff like that. No, it's just, you know, it's an old school death metal band. So like the technicality is not like it doesn't go into that tech death, you know, territory. But it's really incredible record, disgusting artwork, but incredible record. Definitely recommend listening to it.
Yeah.
Finally, this is an interesting band. So Show Me the Body is a band that I've always heard the name of, but I've never actively seeked out or went to listen to them. I don't know. I just assumed that they would be like a run-of-the-mill, like, I don't know, metalcore band or something like that because of the name. Or I think maybe because I confused them with another band that has like the something body in the name. I think there's another band called Bury. Yeah, Bury the Body or something like that. Anyways, so this you get confused, you know, as LA Dying, one of those dying bands, you know.
Bury the Body, Show Me the Body. Imagine if those two bands toured.
It's like, you're going to see Show Me the Body. Is that the Bury the Body or Show Me the Body? Excavate the Body. Leave the Body Alone. I don't know, man. There's too many bands with these kind of names. It's like also As I Lay Dying and I don't know, like all these bands like have these dying in their name. Every Time I Die, As I Lay Dying. Although I really love Every Time I Die. Anyways, so this band is called Show Me the Body, okay? And I recommend, like, they are a very experimental band. And this is, like, I remember a couple of days, like a week ago, I think I posted, like, making fun of artists that put experimental in their name as an excuse for sounding like garbage. But this is, like, really a good example of a band that is experimental, but in a good way, right? So, like, you listen to this record, and it has elements of punk, hardcore, hip-hop, I don't know what else, industrial. It's pretty incredible, actually. Like, when it's an incredible listen. It's a double EP, so like one EP is like, I don't know, like four songs, and another one's four songs or something like that. But yeah, definitely worth the listen if you're into like experimental music and you want to listen to something different, you know?
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting album. I was pretty surprised by the hip hop elements and those things. It's but on the darker side as well. Not really. You know what I mean? Like, for some reason, it reminded me a bit of Death Grips, but
I was just about to say, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you like that kind of stuff, you might enjoy this. But yeah, it's like the dark side of hip hop, the dark side of like maybe punk and hardcore. It just has this grimy feel to it. Now, I don't mean grime by that, the UK hip hop genre, but just in the descriptive sense.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with the way it sounds as well. Like, it sounds like as if it was recorded in the worst possible way, in the worst possible way ever. But it still holds up, like, in terms of like production value, it sounds fine. It's just like it has that, like you said, like grimy, dirty kind of sound to it. You know, and it works. It's really nice. It's a really cool record. The opening track is really cool. I really enjoyed it. And obviously the rest of the album as well. But yeah, definitely worth listening to. But yeah, otherwise, that's it in terms of stuff that we're listening to. Let's talk about some of the stuff we want to highlight for this week, right? The things that really stood out for us this week in terms of music. And I'm going to go ahead and let you start here, Mansoor. What you got? I think you wanted to highlight Slope this week, right?
Yes, absolutely. Slope dropped a new single called Fury Funk, and it's a pretty good song. I mean, earlier this year they released their album Freak Dreams, which is one of my favorite albums of the year. So a few days ago, they dropped this new single, and it's, you know, it's still right up there with their latest album, which is great from start to finish. I felt it's a funk metal record. It's, you know, if it's, it goes, it alludes back to that kind of late 80s, early 90s sound from, you know, bands like Infectious Grooves and Primus and, you know, you know, even earlier Red Hot Chili Peppers. So this is a pretty fun, you know, track to listen to, very, you know, very riff based and groovy, and kind of they have this whole thing where they, you know, their music is kind of dancey in a way, in the sense that it you know, it's very funky to the point where it makes you want to dance. So I really love this track, and it, and I had the chance to see them live, and you know, it's to promote their current tour, which is called the Fury Funk Tour. So yeah, do check them out. Slope is a fantastic band from Germany. And when I saw them, their show was just fantastic. It was a pretty small, intimate venue. And, you know, there's something about seeing a band that is, you know, just up and coming and early in their career. They're full of, you know, youth and you know, and energy and, you know, it's just, there's something special about seeing a band that is just in that part of their career. So yeah, it's just, it's a fantastic, fantastic record. Heavy yeah. riffs, groovy bass and drumming, just yeah. fun. Their whole thing is they're against the 9-to-5 thing and more about like pursuing your dreams, your passion and all. That's the message behind their music, yeah. which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I completely like got a Faith No More meets Red Hot Chili Pepper meets a little bit of Primus, but not as quirky or as weird, just like straight up funk metal. It's as if it says these guys like are obviously like, I feel like they've listened to the Red Hot Chili Peppers and they were like, what if they were heavier, you know? And
yeah, they have two vocalists and they're like rapping and stuff, so there's that Beastie Boys kind of feel to it as well.
Yeah, there you go, and that's another like kind of feel to it. It's very interesting. I didn't expect it to go as heavy as I thought it would, and you know, I don't know, like it's been a while since I listened to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, I used to be like a really big fan of their records, but I don't know if like I have room right now to listen to a funk based metal band, but I did go like and start listening to some of the discography here, and this record is actually like the one that I don't know, for some reason I ended up listening to, and it's actually they used to be like a hardcore, like a straight up hardcore band, like they used to be a straight up hardcore like punk band, like not without any like funk rapping and funk and stuff like that, and it seems like they made at some point the switch, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I think they found their sound already in their with the rap metal, funk metal thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's interesting. Definitely worth listening to if you want to listen to something very dancey, like you said, very, you know, I mean, it's funk at the end of the day, right? It's funk metal, so there's funk in it, and it's very groovy at the end of the day. Yep. Century Media Records. Cool. Definitely worth listening to. So, I've been listening to this new Harriet record, and honestly, it's one of the coolest records I've listened to this year, right? So this is definitely one of those records, I'm going to say it now, is going to be in my top five or something like that for the end of the year. I don't know if that will change, you know, it depends, you know, your taste changes as also records come out, but it's such a great record, it's such a heavy record as well. Tonally, it's right up my alley. It has that like aggressive chainsaw tone that I really like, and I appreciate it. You know, if you've listened to the recent Nails record, then you know what I'm talking about, right? That's the kind of guitar tone that they have there. But sound-wise, they're a bit different. They lean towards more of a metalcore, metallic, hardcore kind of sound that also has a bunch of different influences, right? So this record, one of the things I really appreciate about it is that it has a lot of range. So it mixes industrial elements as well in there. So there are songs in there that gives you like this Chelsea Wolf typo negative kind of sound. It's weird. It's incredible. Like, it sounds amazing. And the record like goes, jumps between those kind of different sounds, like the aggressive metallic hardcore kind of like metal sound with aggressive like growling and screeching to like nice open open kind of very I don't want to say shoegazy because that gives kind of an impression of a certain sound, but like that kind of ambient ambient industrial kind of sounding alternative rock or metal or whatever you want to call it. So really, really cool record. The one of the members in there, like, there's two singers in this band. Like, one of them is growling and one of them is more like female singing and stuff like that, or female actually screeching and growling as well. But like, because of that, it adds like a, you know, an interesting dynamic to the band's sound as well. Definitely worth checking out. It's my pick for this week for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
That's it for us in terms of highlights for this week. As promised, we're keeping it short and simple. So you guys need to go listen to the records and listen to the things that we've been listening to and come back and tell us what do you think. Isn't that right?
If you have any music recommendations, let us know.
All right. So with that being said, any last words, Mansoor, before we wrap this mother up?
Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you next week. We promise we'll have more topics to talk about and more interviews to do. So check it out.
Yeah. Hopefully next week we'll have a guest. It seems like you guys enjoy when we have guests on the show. So we'll try to arrange for one. If you guys have any recommendations, or if you want to see someone in particular, if you want us to talk with someone in particular, please put it in the diddly diddly do chat down there and let's hear what you have to say. But in any case, thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.